Pop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast, sailing 1,200 fast. All clear.
Okay, this is Pop Harrigan coming in. Here's it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Boys and girls, planes are getting so huge that instruments have to help the pilot and navigator do their jobs. And one of the most exciting of these instruments is the new automatic pilot the Army is putting on all its latest high-altitude bombers. It's called the E-6 and was developed especially for the Army Air Forces by the Minneapolis Honeywell Regulator Company. Chances are that the oil heater thermostat on your living room wall was made by that very same company. The thermostat is a sort of autopilot, too. It controls the heat of the furnace safely and accurately without paying any attention to it at all. The new E-6, of course, is a little more complex than your thermostat. Because of it, a plane can cross an ocean without a single human hand touching the controls. That's enough to make a pilot feel like Superman himself, isn't it? All he has to do is touch a button, and the E-6 will take him quickly and safely to any part of the world. The autopilot is electronic, and it's so fast and strong it can hold those big new Boeing B-50s on a line so straight you could probably only match it with a ruler. Ordinarily, a plane going, say, between New York and Chicago, a distance of 900 miles, might actually travel over 1,000 miles because the plane goes up and down in the air besides going straight forward. This is because the pilot can't keep on an absolutely level altitude. Well, the automatic pilot can, and it saves countless gallons of gas and precious time because of it. You can easily see why when I tell you that it can make more than 300 flight corrections a minute. That's more than 5 a second. More later, so don't forget to listen. And now for our story. Surprised and more than a little excited at the offer of starring roles in a motion picture being filmed out west, Hop and Tank began their new venture on the wrong foot. Flying over open rangeland in eastern California, they scattered what appeared to be a herd of cattle stampeding a lone cowgirl. On landing, as a result of engine trouble, the boys discovered they had interfered with the shooting of a scene in the very movie in which they were to take part. To cap the climax, an instinctive dislike between Tank and a burly, unshaven cowhand by the name of Tex Regan broke out into an open fight. As Hoff and Dixie Davenport, the movie star, watched on the sidelines with a group of extras, a knife flashes in Regan's pants.
Hop, look!
Tank, he's got a knife!
Show me up, will you? Ow! Fix it! You ain't fixing nobody, white guy! Oh, my arm! Put this clear off! You don't drop that knife!
All right, I'll rub it.
Hop, how did Tank do it?
The Army didn't teach us judo for nothing.
Now, you punk, this is for the knife! This is for beating a horse! And this is because I don't like your mug!
Tank knocked him off.
And how? Nice going, boy.
I was just getting warmed up.
Warmed up? Heaven help anyone who really makes you mad.
Hey, look out. There's a car coming in fast.
Oh, now you're in for it, I'm afraid.
Why?
It's Giovanni Bonaparte the rescue. He must be furious because he broke up the team.
Uh-oh.
One side, everyone. One side, please. Mr. Yvonne off the chair.
Oh, there's that little pit squeak again.
He's Mr. Peabody, Yvonne's assistant.
Yes, we've met him.
One side, please. Clear the way.
Where's the police escort?
Good luck, boys.
Thanks.
What is going on here, if I may be so boldly asked?
Well, Mr. Yvonne,
and
I...
what is that man doing there lying on the ground? Mr. Peabody.
It's Seth Regan, Mr. Ivanov, the man you put in charge of the cattle.
I do not care who he is or what he is. Tell him he should sleep on his own time. I do not hire him to take fiesta.
Why, I believe he's unconscious.
Mr. Ivanov, I can explain.
You can explain, and who are you?
Well, I'm Hop Harrigan. You wanted me and Tank to act in your movie.
Harrigan? Mr. Peabody.
Yes, Mr. Ivanov, you hired them yesterday. This must be their airplane, sir.
Oh, so it was you. You imbecile. Blockhead. Hundreds of feet of film, thousands of feet wasted. I get towels, hundreds of towels. I spent 3 days preparing, and you play a ring around the hopscotch with your airplane and ruin everything.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Ivanov.
Ivan, it wasn't Hop's fault.
Please, Dixie darling, let Ivanov handle this.
Ivan, please listen.
Ivanov only listens to Ivanov. Now you, take your airplane and fly or fire.
Sir, with...
Ivanov has spoken.
Okay. Come on, Tank.
What do you mean, come on? You're going to let that bag of wind torture you like that?
Bag of wind? Bag of wind, he called me? Why, you... Mr. Peabody! If I got him in his home, my own
sir. Yes, sir, here you are, sir.
You and your officers. Maybe you'd like the same treatment I gave that guy.
Easy, thanks.
Oh, you must ask Mr. Egan. Enough is too much. Get out of my sight. Mr. Peabody, my headache father.
Yes, sir.
Oh, why does everything happen to Ivanov?
Stop it! Stop it! I cannot hear myself speak!
Oh, it's Max Swain, sir, the head cameraman on the North Ridge.
Oh, what have we done now?
Mr. Ivanov.
Mr. Max Swain, I heard you the second time. Do not make so much noise.
But, Mr. Ivanov, those shots were terrific, sensational.
What are you talking about?
The shots of the plane diving over the herd. Why, nobody in Hollywood ever gotten footage like that. It was tremendous.
Well, it was good.
And how, sir?
You got the call?
You bet, from the beginning right through to the landing.
Uh-huh.
But you should have called me this morning, sir. It wasn't in the shooting script. I almost missed it.
There was no time to tell you, Mr. Max Swain. It was an inspiration. When Ivanov has inspiration, it happens.
How do you like that?
Say, don't tell anything now.
But he didn't have nothing to do with it.
Don't tell anybody.
Mr. Harrigan, my compliments. The maneuvers were executed perfectly. I could not have done better myself.
I'll say you couldn't.
Thanks. Well, then we're not fired, sir.
Fired? What fire? Who says you are fired? You leave here over Ivanov's dead body.
Oh.
What is that horrible noise?
Oh, Mr. Regan, sir. Mr. Tinker has told me.
Hank, what's your temper?
Oh.
It was Tex's fault, Ivan. He was beating Sequoia.
Beating your horse, darling?
Yes, and I won't stand for that. You've got to get rid of him. I won't put up with him any longer.
Oh, see, my darling, so
far. Well, that sneaking sidewinder.
Right here, you big ape.
Hank, cut it out.
One moment. When Ivanov is here, there will be no fighting.
Listen, Ivanov. He's going to work in this picture, I quit. It's him or me. This state ain't big enough for the both of us.
Oh, ultimatum you're giving Ivanov?
You heard me. He goes or I go.
Mr. Regan, goodbye.
What?
We will do without your services. Go mangle your cattle somewhere else.
You can't do that to me. I've got a comrade.
Mr. Peabody, pay him what we owe him, and he is through.
Yes, sir.
You won't get away with it, Ivanov.
Ivanov has spoken. So go, saddle your horse and guide it.
Okay. If that's the way you want to play it. But I ain't through with you, Ivanov. Are you, fat stop?
Oh, fat, am I?
Thanks, stop it.
I'm going to take care of you, too, all of you. You're not going to forget Tex Regan. Not by a long shot.
His coarse features twisted into a mask of cold, venomous anger. The hulking cowhand strides away, leaving the group suddenly quiet, chilled by his threat. Just what can he do to harm the boys and the movie? We'll learn more in a moment, gang, so stand by. The E-6, or automatic pilot I was telling you about at the beginning of Hop Harrigan, is based on the C-1 pilot, which was also developed by the Minneapolis Honeywell Regulator Company and was standard equipment on all the B-17s, B-24s, and B-29s in the war. But the new autopilot can do a lot of things never before possible. For example, it has a special emergency engage button right on the control wheel that's one of the slickest safety features ever developed for aircraft. Now, here's how it works. Let's say a bird crashes through the windshield or smoke, anti-aircraft fire, or anything else temporarily incapacitates the flight crew. Well, all the pilot has to do is hit that button, and the plane will instantly go into straight and level flight. Even if the ship is in a stall or heeled over in an 80-degree bank, the emergency engage will smoothly and quickly take over the controls and put the plane in safe flying position until the trouble can be corrected. Now, because the E-6 is electronic, almost any type of flight or power control can be added to it. All in all, gang, the autopilot is a great deal more than a gadget which flies a plane on any given course. It really is a whole flight control system which was developed to relieve pilots of the necessity of manually flying their planes so that they can have more time to act in a supervisory capacity. The new planes being built today are so big, fast, and complex that some automatic means had to be developed to handle the hundreds of details involved in holding the huge ships on their courses. Because of equipment like the E-6, aviation is being made easier and safer for the flyer every day. And always remember, America needs flyers! And now back to our story. It is early evening, and the flat rangeland is bathed in the silvery glow from a half-moon high in the east. The location camp is ablaze with light from many tents and prefabricated buildings, but Hop and Tank are leaving the lights behind them as they walk with Dixie Davenport into the darkness beyond the camp.
Where are you taking us, Dixie?
I want to show you something I think you'll find interesting. It isn't far.
Huh?
First, tell me, how do you like movie life?
Oh, I can't say yet. Wait till tomorrow when we really go to work.
You two certainly had an eventful introduction into the business.
Oh, I'll say. Mr. Ivanov is quite a character, isn't he?
Character? Gosh, he murders English worse than I do.
Oh, we don't even notice it anymore. He's an excellent director and a fine man, Chris. Don't let his manner throw you a snap. If he likes you, he'll give you the shirt off his back.
I thought as much.
Well, what about that Regan guy? Did he really do something?
I honestly don't know. Devon hired him for this picture because he was supposed to be an excellent hand with horses. I thought he was unnecessarily cruel to them. And then there was some talk about a herd of wild horses somewhere in the hills. Jack said he was the only one who could find them. But that's all washed up. I'm glad he's gone.
He's a pretty rough customer.
I took him down a peg or two.
Which he didn't like one bit.
Oh, well, forget it. Here we are.
Hey, is that a C-47?
Mm-hmm. A reconverted army transport.
What's it doing here?
It's the quarters home.
Huh?
Come on inside, I'll show you.
Here, you mean you'll keep your horse in the plane?
Yes. You see, between pictures, I ride in rodeos, and I like to get around in a hurry, so we use a plane. It's better for Sequoia, too. What's your step on that ramp?
Oh, thanks. But I didn't know you flew.
Oh, I don't. I have a pilot, Joe Bell, who doubles in brass by taking care of Sequoia for me. Ah, hello there, boy. How are you?
Oh, brother, what a horse.
Is everything all right? Are you comfortable?
He's glad to see you.
I've raised Sequoia from a colt, taught him everything he knows.
You know, I bet he's the most famous horse in the United States.
Oh, he is.
Boy, this is some layout you got in here.
Yes, I had it built especially with the stall in the center of the fuselage so Sequoia won't be bumped around too much. Then in the tail is the storage space for the saddles and tops.
You got a bunk up here, back of the flight compartment.
Oh, Joe sleeps in there.
He isn't around.
I gave him the night off. Well, what do you think of it?
Oh, very neat. Well, thanks for showing us around, Dixie, but we better be getting along now. I'll see you in the morning.
Yes, it's a day. Good night, Hop.
Night, Dixie.
Good night, Ken.
So the boys head back to their tent to get a good night's sleep. And as they do, several miles to the north, in the town of Crucero, trouble is brewing. In a small saloon, Tex Regan sits talking steadily to a short, stockily built man who stares in silence at his half-empty glass.
Seems to me like this is a business, partner. I want to get that Davenport gal. I want to fix her good. Her and all the rest of them move in madly. And you can help me. You've cut yourself in for nice on the change, too, because I got an idea how we can really cash in. Throw in with me, and you'll be sitting on top of the range. How about it, eh? Come in with me, and we'll both do plenty good for ourselves.
The man opposite Tex continues his silence for a moment. Then he looks up, nods his head in agreement, and drains his glass in one gulp. Who is he, and what is Regan's plan?
Gang, there's action and suspense ahead, so don't miss our next episode. Tune in and fly with Pop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.